Okay, so picture this. You're in 11th grade biology. You've been stuck on slide three of the mitochondria PowerPoint since Monday, or any content area that you teach. You've been stuck on the same slide. I use science a lot, as you can see, science teacher in the building. But anywho, you've been stuck since Monday. Your class clown is slouched either in the back of the room or the front of the room, and they raise their hand and they go, "Hey, Miss Teacher," or "Mr. Teacher, I think I'm the powerhouse of the cell and I'm just trying to stay awake." Think about that for a minute. How do you feel? Let that resonate with you for just a moment. You probably your jaw tight, your arms probably crossed. You're finding every reason to contact administration to get this kid out of your classroom. Let's keep it a buck, y'all, right? And then to add insult to injury, the class busts out laughing. They start cutting up, being extra. You know how the kids do. And then you try to keep it together. And here's the kicker. The student goes on to explain cellular respiration better than your slide deck. Ooh, right. Too much, right? Now, I want you to be honest with yourself and ask yourself a question. Was that disruption or was that brilliance in disguise? Okay? Pause on that for just a moment while we get ready to get into this podcast. Welcome back to the Unboxed Educator Podcast, where we think freely, teach boldly, and lead differently. Today, we're talking about why your funniest, most off-task kids might actually be your smartest and how to channel that energy into learning instead of it letting it, disrupt your classroom, okay? So to get us started today, I want to talk about the signal beneath the silliness, okay? So here's the thing. A lot of class clown behavior isn't rebellion, it's data. It's the student saying, "I'm capable, but I'm just not engaged." And again, I tell you all the time, research backs this up. This isn't just my opinion. So psychologist Pecorin, I don't know if I'm saying that right or wrong, and colleagues have shown that boredom in class is tied to lower motivation and weaker study strategies. It's not just annoying. It's literally blocking learning, okay? So I want you to think about boredom, even in your adult life. And as an adult, you get to make the decision where you do and don't go. But boredom happens on two levers, okay? Control and value are out of whack, okay? So I'll say that again. Boredom happens when two levers, control and value, are out of whack. If students feel they have no control over their learning, or they don't see the value in it, boredom spikes. And when boredom spikes, you already know. The humor and the foolery come out, the side conversations start, or the head just boom hits the desk, right? So I want you to think for a minute, so what looks like disruption is really a bright red signal. The task isn't matching the minds in the room. And you know this kid. In fact, you might have even been that kid at some point. You know, I remember sitting through a sit and get lecture in high school and thinking to myself, I could learn this so much faster if they just let me read the book and, I don't know, make a comic, comic about it. But instead, what did I do? I doodled. I cracked jokes and I got labeled as unfocused. So it may not have been you, but does that sound familiar for either you or some of the students in your classroom? So think about that for just a moment, okay? And as the research shows, and you'll hear me say that a lot because a lot of people have opinions in education, but everything should be backed by research and data. And research says that engagement works. So let's talk about solutions, because the good news is research already has shown us what does and does not work. So active learning beats sit and get every time. You know, we can't keep teaching to the test. It is important, but students need to find a way to engage and absorb that content. And so in 2014, Freeman and colleagues studied, it was 225 STEM courses and found that active learning, getting students to do the work, that raised grades and lowered failure rates compared to traditional lecture. Okay, so again, you'll hear me say a lot about science. I'm a science teacher to my heart. I teach math as well, even dibble-dabbled in a little social studies. So you'll hear me reflect a lot on science practices. But I want you to think experiments, discussions and any content, really problem solving, because teacher clarity is a superpower. And I don't know if some of you are familiar with John Hattie. I use that a lot in the work that I do now, talking about teacher effectiveness, but John Hattie calls it one of the biggest effect sizes out there. Clear goals, clear steps, clear success criteria. Students can't aim if they don't know the target, okay? Formative assessment keeps minds on, and it's not just always a pen and paper. Formative, guys, is other ways to assess your students. So in 98, Black and William proved that ongoing checks for understanding raised achievement, not just quizzes, things like exit tickets, use mini whiteboards, or even a quick poll at the end of your class, right? Because autonomy builds motivation. And then to throw a little bit more research at you, Ryan and Desi, I don't know if I'm saying that properly, but their self-determination theory reminds us students need choice, not chaos, unless it's organized chaos. Again, that's a whole nother topic, but meaningful options. Humor can work if it is on task, okay? That's the biggest thing, making sure that it's on task. Research shows that content-related humor actually helps learning. It can lower anxiety and strengthens, memory, okay? Off-topic humor, though? Yeah, no, not so much. So I want you, I know that was a lot of information in a short amount of time, but I want to take a moment to just, you know, reflect on that. Think about the last time your class got loud because of a funny student moment. Take a moment, think about that. Was there a way to use that energy instead of shutting it down? What would have happened if you gave that student the mic for, I don't know, 60 seconds? Made them keep it tied to the concept, okay? So I want you to think about that. Pause on that. Reflect on that for just a moment, okay? So with that, let's flip this into action. I do actually have an 8-step unboxed playbook for turning class clowns into class contributors. And I do want to get into that in just a moment, okay? So just a quick pause and a shout out or a quick mini commercial here. I do offer those types of professional development courses. And oftentimes we think about what new teachers need. Sometimes our seasoned teachers also need a little pick-me-up or a reminder to their why, because they can just get burnt out if they're doing the same thing over and over, okay? So let's get into this playbook. Start with a hook. Sounds very simple. You'd be surprised how many classes do not start with one. How can you get the students even interested in what you're talking about? It could either be a short demo, it could be a meme or an anomaly. We call it phenomena in science. You wanna spark that curiosity right away. So for example, again, science reference here, when teaching waves, right? You know that song Swag and Surf? Could you imagine the kids coming to class, clean version, of course, even though the kids, if they know it, will cuss or do whatever through it, but that's beside the point. Let me reel myself back in. Imagine you're doing a lesson on waves, right? Now I got that swag, I can't sing, but that starts playing in the background. You swag and they surf. So what are they doing when they wind it up? They rocking back and forth. The kids are literally making a wave. After they've danced, they got all that energy out of them from the last class that they were in, and they sit down laughing like, my teacher is insane. Then you ask them, what were they doing? And then you can say to them, well, you just made a wave. Well, what, isn't that what you did? Yeah, it is. So tell me what a wave is, since you made one. What is it? And boom, immediately, you have the students engaged in the lesson. So that gets me to the next part, or the next step in the playbook. Say the target out loud. We're going to talk about waves today. So to go back to my cellular respiration example, today we'll explain how glucose turns into ATP. You'll know you've got it if you can annotate and narrate the pathway, okay? Give them an opportunity in multiple ways to demonstrate mastery of this. Let them read, let them write, let them research. It doesn't have to be just one way, okay? set up stations in your classroom. Again, that stations, that's a whole nother conversation for another day that I'd love to get into, but I just want to make sure we're staying on topic with this, okay? But find a way to state that goal, stick to that goal, and then give students multiple opportunities to demonstrate mastery, okay? Oh, excuse me. All right, the next thing, you want to keep modeling short. You want to be the guide on the side, not the sage on the stage. 5 minutes max. Then turn it over to them. Okay, that's pretty doggone easy if you ask me, right? So the next thing is check for understanding early, right? So in the example I gave about the waves, right? You immediately, the topic of your lesson is waves. What did you have the kids do? Come in and make a wave. You are checking for understanding early by asking them, what is a wave? Other ways you can do this, like whiteboards, polls, cold calls. Now, let me say this about the cold calling, guys. Don't call on little Johnny and you know Johnny don't know the answer and you just calling on Johnny to pick on Johnny. That's not how this works. And that will completely destroy your classroom culture. Okay, so you don't do that. Cold calls with kindness, okay? And then allow classroom, you know, kind of popcorn out. But this is not an opportunity to embarrass the kid that gets on your nerves. That's not what this is about, because ultimately they'll just end up shutting down. So you don't want to do that, okay? All right, so the next thing, the next thing we want to look at is offer bounded choices, you know, comic strips. If they can rap, let them. If they can draw, let them draw a diagram. If they're writers, let them write a one-pager. And they all lead to the same standard. Okay, stop being afraid of letting your students be creative while learning the content. It is totally okay. So the next part is retrieval practice. You have low stakes and quick recall at the end and the beginning of a lesson, right? And so the next one, invite humor on purpose, okay? Competition, you know, funniest on-task analogy wins. Of course, keep it clean, set your ground rules, all right? Then give the students an opportunity to self-assess. Students circle where they are and name a next step. Give them a playbook. It does take a little bit of planning on the front end, but I promise you it'll make your life easier in the end, okay? So again, you know, science. We're gonna use another example because I want to stick to this biology theme. So you could show a clip of a phone battery dropping from say 80 to 5% and ask, what's the cell's charger? Have the students do their best attempt at drawing a quick sketch. Then let students annotate and explain it in their own way. Again, I love a good comic rap diagram, then boom, engagement or something else that I may not have even thought of. And that's also gonna give me a little pause and a little segue. Just because you didn't think of it doesn't mean it's not a good idea, okay? I tell people all the time, anyone that I've ever coached or worked with, I'm married to a good idea, not my idea. I'm gonna come with an idea, but I'm also not gonna be offended if somebody offers something else that could potentially be better. Be open to that. These are so many, many, many nuggets here. You gotta get from that fixed mindset to that growth mindset, okay? So I'm thinking back some years ago when I was teaching seventh grade science, right? And of course, seventh grade in middle school, I'm in Georgia, is life science. So a student compared a mitochondria to a grandma handing out cornbread, right? Feeding the whole family energy. Did the class laugh? Yes. They started talking about some, you ain't gonna eat my cornbread. I don't even know how they knew that analogy because they weren't old enough to have seen the movie that it came from, but whatever, it was funny. Did they ever forget what mitochondria do after that, though? No. Another thing that I've done, use music in my spaces. That's why I believe interdisciplinary lessons are so good when you can integrate the arts. There was this scientific method song that was real popular back when I was teaching middle school. And do you know, even my own child, when it came time to reflect on that those things, I would see the kids writing their notes at the beginning of a test based off of music, okay? So there are a lot of online programs that do that because I'm not sponsored by anyone. I'm not mentioning those things. But if you've been in the classroom long enough, you are aware. And also, ding, ding, if anybody hears this and wants to get a shout out or get sponsored, I'll be more than happy to do that for you, okay? So let's keep going on this thing. All right. So practical teacher moves, right? So what do you actually do when that class clowns, and they interrupt your class? Pre-plan for it. Pre-plan some roles. Make them the analogy master, or I don't know, the myth buster. Pre-invite them. Say in 10 minutes, I want your best metaphor. And then again, that's kind of a segue into that interdisciplinary connection. You're bringing literacy in. The students have to use what they learned in their language arts to even do the task. So you're making those connections. So raise the ceiling, not the volume. Hand them an extension task once they've shown mastery, because that's also another thing. Some of these students, they get through the work so quickly, it's not enough. Okay. So have something always. If you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. That's something else I say all the time. Laugh with them, not at them. Channel their humor into memory hooks, okay? So another opportunity to reflect. Who in your class right now could be your analogy master? I know you know who it is. How could you set them up beforehand to shine, okay? So these are just a couple of things that you can use to help improve your energy and focus in class along with the students, okay? So here's the takeaways. When your class clown explains any topic better than your slides, don't see it as a problem. See it as potential, okay? That's brilliance asking for a challenge. And if you want more ways to design lessons that make kids laugh and learn, you already know. Come on over to Unbox Learning. So I'm the Unbox Educator, but my company is called Unbox Learning, okay? And then the website, unboxlearning.org. We're all about turning bored brilliance into engaged excellence, minus those slide three blues. So I just want to thank you today for joining me on this podcast. You know, this is something that I'm very passionate about. I just want to support leaders in education, teachers in classroom spaces, so that they can be their best selves, so that the students can show up and be their best selves. So in the meantime, I am the Unboxed Educator. I want you to think freely, teach boldly, and lead differently. Unboxed Educator.